This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Emily Dickinson wrote that hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. But the songs of the birds will stop if human beings continue to lay waste to the earth. At their recent annual conference in Lillooet, the British Columbia Association of Field Ornithologists declared that there is a fundamental conflict between economic growth and biodiversity conservation. Neil Daw is a wildlife biologist. He helped draft that statement, and he joins me now on the line from his home on Vancouver Island. Hello, Neil.
Hi, Karen.
What prompted the field ornithologist to issue the statement about the conflict between economic growth and biodiversity conservation?
Well, the initial concern was the decline in bird populations around the planet. Around 12% of the over 8,000 species of birds are threatened with extinction. Here in British Columbia, about 8% of the 500 species are under threat, and a further 10% are under serious concern. And we were a bit concerned about the fact that economists and politicians and businessmen were continually telling the public that there is no conflict between economic growth and the environment, when in fact there is a fundamental conflict.
What is our estimate of the extent of the impact of current human activity on natural systems?
Well, the recent Millennium Ecosystem Assessment, this was a major research project, 1,300 scientists, ecologists around the world, took a look at the ecosystems and the impacts that we were having on them. They found that over 60% of the ecosystem services that these ecosystems were providing us, that services like raw materials for the economy, the pollination of our crops, regulating atmospheric gases, the climate, things like that we do, technology can't provide for us. It's natural ecosystems that provide those things. 60% of those were either being degraded or threatened or not used sustainably, and this is a major concern.
And how does our current economic model then lead to this degradation?
Well, from our perspective, it's a fatally flawed model in that it really has no connectivity to the biosphere. Neoclassical economics, the current model, considers that it's the whole and the environment is actually contained within the economic model. Of course, it's actually the other way around, that the economy is a subset of the biosphere. Because of this particular model, if there's no bounds on it, it's not bounded by the biosphere, then it can theoretically continue to grow forever. Now, we know that in order for the economy to grow, it needs input. It's a dissipative system, so it's like us. It needs to take matter and energy from the environment, push it through the system where it manufactures goods and services for us, and produces a lot of waste. So any time that there's an increase in the GDP or any time there's an increase in economic growth, it means that we've affected an ecosystem somewhere. We've taken resources from that ecosystem or appropriated it for our houses or our industry. And whenever that happens, there's a loss of biodiversity.
And is the prevailing assumption that these resources that are needed are inexhaustible to continue to fuel growth?
That's right. That's the basic theory behind the neoclassical model, is that we don't have to worry about resources because there's near-perfect substitutability between the factors of production, that is labor, manufactured capital, and resources. So if we run out of resources, it's not a real problem. We'll just substitute. We'll find substitutes for them. But there is no substitute for biodiversity, and it's biodiversity within the ecosystems that allows the ecosystem to function, to provide these life-giving free ecosystem services.
What's the alternative to this model of economic growth?
Well, fortunately, there is a good alternative, and it's called the steady state economy. And this economy, it's backed by ecological economics. So it's essentially a model that's bounded by the biosphere. It has limits, in other words. It also considers just distribution, which the current neoclassical economic model doesn't consider, because if it can go forever, and you are a poor person with a tiny piece of the economic pie, as long as that pie keeps growing, you can tell the poor and the unfortunate people on the planet that your piece of the pie is always going to get larger, and eventually you'll do good. With a steady state economy, the pie isn't growing anymore. So you have to address just distribution. And the main thing that the steady state economy does is that it considers scale, the scale of the economy, because it is bounded by the biosphere.
What effect would this type of economy have on people who make a living from natural resources?
Well, it would be a sustainable economy. The economy, economic growth is facilitated by increasing population and increasing per capita consumption. So it demands more people and more consumption. When we live on a finite planet with finite resources, that can't happen, of course. I mean, it's common sense, actually. And so with a steady state economy, once we were at that sustainable level, I think things would be an awful lot better. It would be based on rather on having more things than having more activity within the community, having a better sense of community, probably close to full employment for people that would want to work. It would be generally better. I mean, we have two choices, basically, sustainability or not. And by definition, the latter choice doesn't really bode well for humanity.
How would a steady state economy address economic problems like poverty?
Well, as I mentioned, a steady state economy would definitely address them because it would consider just distribution of resources. Right at the moment, because the economy theoretically can grow forever, we need more economic growth to bring the poor out of poverty. And of course, we've been doing that for 100 years, and we still have a lot of poor. There's millions of people that are without water. Millions of people make less than a dollar a day and $2 a day around the planet. A steady state economy would allow us to address those causes because we couldn't use the argument that we can grow out of them any longer. And because the economy is dependent on these resources and they are finite, it's common sense that we have to move to some sort of sustainable alternative than what we're doing now.
What sort of response have you had from other groups about your statement on the conflict between economic growth and biodiversity conservation?
Well, we got a lot of really good response from different environmental groups and different biologists throughout the province. But it's only been out 2 or 3 weeks, actually. So.
And what are your next steps going to be on this?
Well, I think we want to publicize it as much as possible and try to get people to start realizing that, particularly with environmental and conservation organizations, for the most part, we've been just addressing the symptoms of the problem. For example, climate change is a symptom of the problem, and it's a symptom of the demand for economic growth. And in fact, not too long ago, a group of British MPs had a look at the policies that they had created to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And they found that actually these policies were actually working, and the greenhouse gas emissions would have been reduced were it not for the fact that the economy kept growing. So with the growing economy, you have more and more cars on the road and more factories pushing more and more pollutants into the atmosphere. The only way that you're going to address that problem is to address the cause of the problem, which is economic growth.
Is there anywhere people can go to get more information on your organization?
Yeah, they can go to the website at www.bcfo.ca, or they can contact me directly. My email address is nkdawe@shaw.ca.
Great. Well, thank you for speaking with us today.
Okay, Karen.
I've been speaking with Neil Daw. He's a wildlife biologist and a member of the British Columbia Association of Field Ornithologists. And if you want to contact him, again, his email address is nkdawe@shaw.ca.